Our reading for Thursday, June 11th, begins in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, "There is peace and security," then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day, for we are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So that finishes up the book of 1 Thessalonians. I just want to remind you that when we left off yesterday with chapter 4, he addressed the fact that they needed to be informed about what was going to happen when Christ returns, that those are who are dead in Christ will rise first, and then the others will meet Jesus in the air as he descends from heaven with a cry of command. And then in chapter 5, he says, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. Again, Paul makes this point of sort of to say, I've told you these things before. Maybe you need a reminder, so now I'm going to say it again. So you don't have a need to have anything written to you because this has been talked about before. But here we go. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. None of us knows when the day of the Lord is going to come. Do people claim to know when it's going to be? Do they claim to be able to read some sort of signs that will tell them when it's going to be? Sure they do. There are always those false prophets that are out in the world that try to stake a claim to fame and make some money off of what they put forth as a credible prophecy or even a credible guess about the last day being some fixed point in time. But only the Father knows that day. And so a thief is not going to announce to you when he's going to come. He wants to surprise you. He wants to be able to steal from you without any trouble. The thief is going to desire to be able to sneak in, grab what he wants, and leave. And you don't realize they've even been there till it's too late. It's already done. That's the way a thief works. They want to surprise. That's why Paul uses this analogy. So the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief does. It's going to be a surprise. Verse 3, while people are saying there's peace and security, in other words, while they're lax and they think that everything is going to keep going as it is and there's not going to be any problem, there's not going to be any calamity, and there's not going to be any judgment, so then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So verse 4, you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. So think about this for a moment. There's a couple of different ways in Scripture that the idea of darkness is used. In the book of John, John talks about Jesus coming into the world being the light of the world, and we understand he's talking about the light of truth, the light of the Word, and that that will expose works of darkness. So he has this light versus dark, righteousness versus sin, good versus evil type of an idea. But along with that is also the idea that when it's daylight, we can see well. God's guidance is also sometimes described as a light unto our path, you know, to light the way, to direct the way. Even if I'm going to go out at night, I want some level of light to be able to see. I think about this when we go camping and we kind of make our final trek for the night to go and dump our trash and go up to the restrooms and that kind of stuff when we go to the state parks. And for the most part, it's pretty dark after the sun goes down, even in the state park. A few people have some lights on, but it's not very much. So we always bring nice, high-powered flashlights. The idea is I want to be able to see. I want to be able to see well. I want to be able to see if there's an obstacle in the roadway. I want to see where the roadway is. I want to see if there's anything I need to avoid. And depending on what park I'm talking about, we might even be concerned about any animals that might be around. We've been in state parks where we had turkeys running around, coyotes running around, even mountain lions on one occasion. So there was some concern. You need to be able to see. You need to be able to see what's out there. It gives you that heightened sense of awareness, but it gives you just a little bit of trepidation. I'm a little bit concerned. I want as much light as possible. But even with that high-powered flashlight, you don't feel at ease. You know that there's the possibility of anything being in the way that could harm you. But during the day, we don't feel that same sense of concern. During the day, when the sun is shining well, you can see all around you, and there's less there that can harm you during the day. Some of those animals and things tend to come out at night. So the idea is you're not in darkness. You're in the daylight, the light of the sun, the light of the Word, and it will allow you to not be surprised. Now, does he mean that they will be able to know when that day comes? No, but it means they'll be prepared. They won't be caught off guard. They won't be caught like those which destruction comes upon. Verse 5, you're all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. We are not having our vision obscured. We're not having our understanding clouded. No, it's all been revealed to us, except for the exact day in which this is going to happen. So let us not sleep as others do, but be awake and be sober. In other words, don't let your guard down. Be ready. Get down to verse 8, and he talks about the breastplate of faith and love, the helmet of the hope of salvation. You know, the armor of God, that which God has given us to equip us to be able to defend ourselves and to be ready. That's what Paul's talking about, is this readiness. Verse 9, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation. That's the difference. And if you're going off and doing whatever you want to do, living in sin, living in darkness, then that the day of the Lord is going to be a terrible day. Destruction comes upon you, and you will be eternally separated from God to be punished forever. However, if you're one of the children of God, that day is not a terrible day. That day is a glorious day. It is a wonderful day. It is a day in which you are found faithful. It is a day in which you enter into heaven with God himself by his grace. And so this is made possible by Christ who died for us, verse 10, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Now, I think here he's going back to the idea of alive or not alive. I could be wrong about that, but I think that he's changing it just a little bit there versus the idea of being asleep and not being ready. So encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing, just the same as he ended chapter 4, verse 18, encourage one another with these words. Verse 12, he begins his closing of the letter, and as Paul tends to do at the close of a letter, he throws some final thoughts in there, things that don't need to be expounded upon to any great degree, but there's some thoughts that he wants to make sure that they are considering. So verse 12, respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. So Timothy had come to them and he had labored among them for a while. I don't know who might have been working with them at this time, if there was someone. There might have been an evangelist that was working there. They needed to appreciate him and to respect them for the work that they were doing. Then there's those that are over you in the Lord. That would be those that shepherd the local congregation, the elders that are there. Elders tend to have to make some difficult decisions, and those decisions can leave them with some sleepless nights and lots of time dedicated to prayer and lots of worry, if you will, about the spiritual well-being of those that are under their care. So they need to be respected as well. And there are times in which they may need to admonish you, and you need to respect them for that as well. You know, the local church works well when we follow the pattern. And when we stop following the pattern, including how we respond when we are admonished and even disciplined, if we stop following that pattern, then it all begins to work against us instead of for us, and that's by our own doing. If we throw a monkey wrench into everything and cause problems, then don't be surprised when the detrimental effects begin to be felt. So there should be respect for those that are over you and even have to admonish you, and you should esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Don't make it something that they don't want to do anymore simply because people won't work with them. If you want to have elders in a local congregation, then you need to show them respect and you need to try to work with them. Don't be working against them, and be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, verse 14, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. You know, work with your brethren. Help each other. We're a family. We work and love with each other. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Seek to do good to one another and to rejoice. Even if your brother sins against you, that doesn't give you the right to sin against them. Don't repay evil for evil. Follow the guidelines that are given within Scripture. Go to them. Tell them that, you know, there's some sin that's going on. They need to repent. They need to get over that. And if they're following the previous instructions, then they will accept that and repent. Rejoice always. That's difficult to do, rejoicing in every circumstance. Pray without ceasing. Sometimes we fail to follow that as well, simply because we get distracted. Sometimes we get distracted by good times, and sometimes we get distracted by bad times. Make sure that prayer is always a constant in your life. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. The idea of quench is like putting out a fire. You know, don't snuff out the influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Do not despise prophecies. The idea there is to not despise the teachings, the preaching of the Word. Test everything. How do we test it? We test it by the Word itself. That was what was noble about the Bereans, in that they tested everything that Paul was saying against the old Scriptures, and they found it to be true. So test everything and hold fast to what is good, or what passes the test is genuine. abstain from every form of evil. If we see something that is evil, your automatic response should be to turn away from it, turn another direction, go away. Don't flirt with it. Don't try to walk the line with it. Don't try to see how close you can get to it without actually committing sin. All that does is indicate that you have a desire for that thing and that you are going to try to straddle the fence. There is no straddling the fence with God. You're either in the pasture or out of the pasture. And if you're on the fence, you're out of the pasture. Verse 23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's basically praying that God's grace be upon them as they continue to be faithful. Verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do that, or he will accomplish this work that he's speaking of. He asks for them to pray for them. He asks for them to greet the brothers with a holy kiss, or to show affection and respect among each other. Verse 27, I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. They are to pass these things along so that others can benefit from it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So we've finished up the book of 1 Thessalonians. We will pick up another reading tomorrow. I hope that you'll be back for that. I will end the same way that Paul did with this letter. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.